I don't know how that God has time to work on you and listen to your prayer requests, because I think he's spending so much time with me. But he is God, and God will work on those things. But I believe God's always, always available in prayer. And I will repeat that we need to keep praying for Israel for sure. But also, a lot of us were praying for our nation before the election. Sometimes it seems like we're not praying as much as we should be praying for him now. So we need to be praying for our nation as well. So we need to lift up the nations to the Lord, and definitely Israel at this time. So keep them in prayer. But I want to share with you tonight is a Bible story that most of us are familiar with. So we're going to be back in Daniel tonight in chapter 6. It is a very familiar story, but I'm hoping to bring up some gold nuggets that we might grasp into a little deeper of what's going on with this Daniel and the lion's den piece. I want to give you a repeat of what has happened in the past a little bit. There was King Nebuchadnezzar and then King Belshazzar, and now it's going to be in King Darius. But what we see there is Belshazzar, just that whole Chaldea, those guys were a mess. They were all about evil things. The Chaldeans were people who were just against anything of God. They're the ones, in fact, that said, listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they won't bow down and got them in trouble. And they end up losing their spot. The Chaldeans did when the night that King Belshazzar was killed. Now Darius, the Mede, is now king of the kingdom. And he is, Scripture says, 62 years old. Let me just remind you that the book of Philippians says that we're like shining stars in the darkness. It's not because you're awesome. It's because God is awesome. It's not because of things you do. It's because what you allow Jesus to do through you. It's because, not because your last name, it's because the name of Jesus. His Holy Spirit just radiates it. He wants to radiate out of your life and out of your hands and your feet and your mouth and how your actions and how you are. And the more you live for Jesus, the more brighter you are. And darkness just doesn't like that. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were charged and thrown in the fiery pit. And just because darkness loses a battle doesn't mean darkness quits. They keep on going. Now we're going to see it rise up again, because the life of a godly man, his life is shining, and darkness doesn't like it. Doesn't like it. We're going to read this story. I'm going to read it in sections, I believe. Darius, in verse 1, decided to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, station them throughout the realm, and over them three administrators, including Daniel. I wonder. We'll see. These satraps would be accountable to them so that the king would not be defrauded. Daniel was there to make sure that these individuals, these satraps, were not going to do things and steal the king's money and blow it. 120 of them, I want you to remember that, and three administrators. One of those administrators is a godly man. He wants to do things right. Yet he's not from that country. He's not from that country. He's from a long place away. From Jerusalem. He wants to do things right. Even for many people would say the enemy. Do things right. But the administrators and the satraps, verse 4 says, kept trying to find a charge against David regarding the kingdom. But they could find no charge of corruption, for he was trustworthy. And no negligence or corruption was found in him. So what we find here is evil and darkness is there. They want to do with whatever they've been put in charge of, and they want to have freedom with it. And you know what happens with freedom? The people who do evil things and bad things, they're just going to run through it. They're going to use it for their own purposes. They're going to do that. But Daniel was found trustworthy. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do people believe, are you trustworthy? You know this? God's people are supposed to be trustworthy. And he was trustworthy. And they couldn't find anything wrong with this guy. They wanted to find something that they can get him on so bad. They don't like him. You know, right now in the Dallas Cowboys stadium that they play in, there's a group that want to meet there, and it's called the Promise Keepers. You might have heard them in probably the 80s. And they're really great, and they kind of went silent for a while up and down, and now they want to sell out the AT&T building, all of it. And then we'll talk about the man's role as a believer. The man needs to rise up and be the man of God that God called men to be. Start becoming the man again that God called him to be. And there is an individual that's pushing back. Somebody from the media is pushing back, a columnist pushing back. He runs his column. And he doesn't like it. Because they're going to say that certain lifestyles are wrong. That's your group is coming together because it's going to talk about hate speech. And that's not what it's about at all. See, evil will turn to good and find something and try to twist it. That's what's happening here. Trying to twist Daniel in a direction. Now here's the thing. I don't know if Daniel knows it yet. This is what evil does. When you realize evil is trying to work in your life, it was already working before you knew it. It's already working a plan. You see, evil's been doing this for a long time. Darkness has been doing this a long time. When I say that, that is Satan. That is all the demonic. And those who they work through. All the way back to the Garden of Eden. All the way back. Get a chance. Read the book of Esther. Darkness rises up to try to annihilate the whole nation. And this is another opportunity that they're trying to take. To take out this man. But it says, then these men said, we will never find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God. And then it says, so the administrators and the satraps went together. Evil loves to group up. They like to do the mob thing. The many people they can get. You got 120 of them. But it also says the administrators. And how many were there? There were three. Take Daniel out of the equation. That's who they're after. But it didn't say an administrator. Said the administrators. So that's the other two. There's not a one of them that was on his side. Going against one man. When he leaves the office, they're going through trying to find something. When he's coming back, here he comes. They wanted him bad. They just couldn't do what they wanted to do with him because he was checking I's and checking T's and crossing T's and dotting I's and counting the numbers. 5 + 5 = 10. So they went together as a group. They went to the king. They're going to put some pressure down. Notice they didn't go one at a time. They went as a group. You know what they did with Jesus? When Jesus was on, when Jesus was there, there was a crowd there crucified. And they begin to say, may the king of Darius live forever, all the administrators in the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps and the advisors and the governors have all agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce the edict that for 30 days, anyone who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den. You see, they didn't use a fiery pit, this group. They used lions. Have you noticed it was the administrators and the satraps went together, but when it was done and over, they had the prefects with them. They had the advisors and the governors. They got a crowd. That's what they do. People follow with crowds. Listen, you will not find more temptation and weakness than when a crowd is coming towards you. You'll want to, the natural piece is to shrink back, to jump into the crowd. It's safer there. But Daniel didn't do that. Daniel didn't do that. So they go and they said, this is it. We're going to do this. Let's do this, king. Come on, come on. And therefore, your majesty, establish this edict and sign the document so that as the law of the Medes and the Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed. It's almost like it was there, but King Darius couldn't see it. Couldn't see what was behind it. Can I remind you, be careful what you sign. Be careful what you sign. Read what you sign, especially today. When you sign a contract, read it. When you sign something, buy something, read it. When you sign a petition, there are a lot of petition stuff. Make sure you read it. The ACLJ sends out some great stuff. Asked me to sign some of those things or biblical things. But I look at it and make sure that I want to put my name on it. I don't put my name on everything. Be careful what you sign. Because King Darius signed the document. When Daniel learned that the document has been signed, you see, you almost want to think King Darius might have said, well, we're missing somebody here in your crowd. Where's Daniel? Daniel wasn't going to be caught up in that crowd. But when you got a crowd in front of you, you can shrink back. Even kings can shrink back because all that crowd is pressing, pressing, pressing. And listen, evil is not nice or kind. And when it is, that's not its intention. It is using that to cover its true identity, which is to tear up and destroy. And that's exactly what this document is about. And when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house, and the windows in its upper room opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed and he gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Is there a moment maybe, man, do I need to keep doing this? I could get in trouble. I've always got attendants around me. I mean, at this level, he's got attendants himself. He's got people that work for him. He's moving around. He goes to his house thinking, maybe in private I can do this. But no. He does it right in the windows. If you kind of look at pictures of them, the windows are right there. He's going to pray. It's what I do. Can we go all the way back into chapter 1? We're not going to read it, but way back in the chapter. Listen, this is what I, as I read first Daniel, or Daniel chapter 1, you'll see here that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Chaldeans, they stole several things. They stole all the gold and the silver. They went into the temple, the temple. They stole all that, but they stole something that was just as precious to the people. They stole the young people. They stole the young people. They started teaching them. It took 3 years. They started teaching them their language. They were trying to turn them into the Chaldeans. But there were some that didn't do that. They still held on to God. That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. We don't know if there's any others. I hope there was. But this is what I really come to. These guys must have had awesome parents. These guys must have been taught godly things by their parents. Because the temptation from the Chaldeans was probably pretty strong and pretty high. Man, you're a part of us. You can live this party life. You can do the things that we do. We're still over you, but hey, you're part of us now. But they remembered what they were taught, that God is real. So I believe they were brought up by godly parents. Because they sure weren't learning that stuff by the Chaldeans, and they sure wasn't learning that why they were here. They learned this back when. And here, Daniel's faith is now he's going to be tested, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith was tested. So the king answered, "As the law of the Medes and the Persians, the order stands and is irrevocable." That's just something that these guys had. No laws. If you put a law, it can't be changed. You think he would have really thought about this little document a little bit more. Then they replied to the king, "Daniel." It wasn't just as soon as he said that, now they're going to jump on him. "We got what we need. We have the document. We got it. Here it is. You signed it. Daniel, one of the Judean exiles, has ignored you." I'm sure King Darius is looking around. He's not here. "He's ignored you," the king, "and the edict you signed, for he prays 3 times a day." And as soon as the king heard this, he was very displeased. He set his mind on rescuing Daniel. He wasn't displeased because he knew what he did. He knew. They got me. They got me. I can't change it. They got me. They tricked me. They deceived me. Let me tell you, Satan is good at deceiving. "Oh, that's a better woman over there than what you got. Oh, that's a better man than what you got. Why don't you just take it? You deserve it. Look how they treated you." He always is deceiving to make you feel better about what you are doing, knowing that it is wrong. It's kind of like the light bulb goes on. "Oh, how dumb I am. King Darius is displeased. He set his mind on rescuing Daniel and made every effort until sundown to deliver him." I'm trying to figure out, is there a law? Is there a way I can get him out of this? Because they became friends. They knew each other. If he didn't, Darius would have said, "Great, get rid of him." No. Here's a king trying to fight for a man of a different nationality, but a man that he knows, that he's drawn close to, that he entrusts to be an administrator. And he can't save him. Can I remind you of this? No matter what position someone has, there's going to be times where they cannot save you. And I'll even go as high as this, even saying this. Sometimes mom and dad cannot save you. As much as their heart is breaking and broken, they want to reach out. They want to say, "Just take my hand. I'm going to take it all for you." Can't fix it. They can't fix it. A parent can't fix it. You see, I know this, and many of you know this also as a parent. When you're raising your children, you can tell them what to do. But when they become an adult, you can't do that no more. But you hope that they'll listen to you, and the highest piece that you can do is to speak godly things. You can speak into their lives. But they don't have to listen. They don't have to obey. And here we find King Darius trying to make every effort until sundown. Because what happens at sundown? Daniel's going in the lion's den. And sundown came. When sometimes people can't help you, I know this, there is a God who can. But we're not there yet. He says in verse 15, then these men went to the king and said to you, as king know it, it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no edict or ordinance the king establishes can be changed. Here it is. These guys are arrogant. They go back and they remind the king of what he already knows. The king's getting furious. That's telling the boss what he already knows, and you're kind of belittling the boss. But there's nothing he can do. So the king gave the order. It's not an order that he wanted to do, but it is an order. And they brought Daniel and they threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, here it is. I love this piece. It reminds me, I'm going back, I'm going into the future when Jesus was arrested. He's there. And Jesus, in Peter's eyes, locked. I don't know him. One of the most heartbreaking scriptures that I think of in scriptures. It'd be like Barb would be in trouble and Barb would reach out and they're like, I don't know Barb. Now, Jesus knew he was on mission. He was on task. He knew that. He already said, now, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Don't think you're going to be a warlord and you're going to come save me. But the scripture says that Peter turned around and he ran away. After that, I mean, after the three times to deny him. But when the eyes locked, wow. King Darius is looking at Daniel, and Daniel's looking at the king like, you know, what can we say? But Darius says this. He says this. Here it is. This is the awesome piece. May your God, because I can't do it. I'm a king of the kingdom. Now I'm telling you, this kingdom was huge. If you know scripture, even Babylon is even mentioned in the future. But he says, may your God whom you serve continually. He already knew he did. Rescue you. Exclamation point. Everybody heard it. So when you're talking about shouting out, hey, whatever you were going to shout out at that Cedar Point place or whatever, King Darius really isn't a follower, but he says it anyway. May the God you serve rescue you. And a stone. Listen, those other guys, they didn't care. Went right over them. They're on mission. And take this light out, and we're going to extinguish this beautiful bright light that gets in our way. We don't like it. Let me just remind you of this. We are all like shining stars, Scripture says. We are a bright light, which reminds me that Jesus sees our brightness because he sees the Holy Spirit he's given to us. Somebody messes with one of his bright lights. Somebody messes with one of God's children. Let me tell you, you may take a beating. You may take a lick. Your life could be taken, as some are. But let me tell you, God knows. And there's going to be some people held accountable. Let me ask you this. If you have children and somebody messes with your children in the wrong way, are you going to deal with it? Don't you think God does not protect his children? So when I walk around, I don't walk around cocky, but I know I got a father. Don't touch me. Now, if I'm going to get a whooping, I'm going to get it from the Lord. Because sometimes I need to be disciplined. But I'm telling you, fear should come upon people who do not fear the Lord, who mess with God's people. And we are the family of God. So these people, they didn't care. They didn't care. They did not care. So the king gave the order. And he shouts it out. May your God whom you serve continue to rescue you. And the stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet. and with his own signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing in regard to Daniel could be changed. It's not going to be changed. He's in the lion's den. Then the king, this tells you the heart of this king. Let me tell you, good people make mistakes. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. King Darius made a mistake, but it can't be changed. Then the king went into his palace, and he spent the night fasting. What? This is one of the few times that I see that non-believer fasting. We see that also in Nineveh, the whole city. Jonah gets done with it. They fast. They're fasting. No diversions were brought into him, and he could not sleep. He pulled an all-nighter. But let me tell you, if we pull an all-nighter, let me tell you something about this guy here. He pulled an all-nighter for someone else. We usually pull all-nighters for ourselves. Even John, Peter, and James. James, Peter, and John. Even those guys could not pull an all-nighter with Jesus in the garden. King Darius has got an all-nighter going on. The Bible said he could not sleep. He's holding out for some hope. He knows the only hope is God. He says, may your God deliver you. He's the only one. He's the only one. And at the first light, verse 19 of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. He was in a hurry. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. He's crying out to Daniel. Let me tell you, if you've done something, you know that someone's life is at stake. I'm telling you, if you have a heart, any kind of heart, you're going to be broken over it. Most of these kings, they could care less. People are just, they're just vessels or just whatever. This king was different. Let me just tell you, even lost people, when they hang around with godly people, they change a little bit. They may not be saved at that time, but some things start changing. That's a good sign, isn't it? Can we tell here that King Darius kind of hung out with Daniel? Let lost people hang out with you. Just let you be affecting them instead of them affecting you. So he cries out at first light. He says, and when he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. He said, Daniel, servant of the living God. The king said, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions? He's shouting out to Daniel. He asks a question expecting a response. I like that. Tells you that King Darius heard some things about God, huh? Probably heard about the hand on the wall. How three men didn't burn up in the fiery furnace. About the dreams that were interpreted. And you've wondered, wow, what those kind of guys like? So he reads up, he rubs up, and he gets to know him. And he asks that question. He yells out that question. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lion's den? The same thing that he shouted, may God whom you serve continually rescue you. Nobody was expecting any kind of response because evil thinks its numbers always extinguish the light. Let me just remind you also that One little flicker of light, there is still hope. If you know what that hope is. And Daniel spoke with the king. He spoke with the king. He says, may the king live forever. They're conversating from the other side. He says, my God sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouth. I'm telling you, relief. This is going to be a good day. The king is, it's relief. This king is teaching me is teaching us what Scripture means when you rejoice with those who rejoice and you mourn with those who mourn. He says, they haven't hurt me, for I was found innocent before him. Also, I have not committed a crime against you, my king. And the king was overjoyed. He was overjoyed. He was happy. I wish we can learn to be happy for other people, regardless of what's going on. Whether someone has a baby, someone gets a new job, someone gets a home, someone gets healed, someone has cancer is gone. I just wish that we would be excited. Can I share some of those things with you before we close out? I wish we'd get excited when Barb gets excited when her son's coming home. I know what it's like in the military life. Me and Carla know that. Coming home was always good. And you kind of don't feel at home when you come home because your home's not there, but it is your home. It feels weird. I wish we could get excited when someone says, God answered a prayer. I wish we can get excited when maybe we might see, I'm not putting people on the spot, but I am, when we see Darlene lift her hand up in praise, and it might be not another, or Barb sticks their hands up. It doesn't mean that they're better than us at praising, but just, Lord, just I just, maybe I'm not doing that, but their expression is making me want to worship more. Maybe we should get excited when someone just comes in and brags about their kids or their grandkids. Or they went on vacation. Give them 5 minutes. Tell me, what happened in vacation? How'd you enjoy that? And then maybe we also need to learn how to hurt when people have pain and suffering, and we need to learn how to do that. I think this king learned a lot in 24 hours. Man, I signed that stupid paper. Shouldn't have signed it. My friend is probably going to die. And then the king gave the command, and those who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought. Now it's the king's time. Remember, when somebody messes with God's people, sometimes, you know, we pray, God, take this problem away. God, take this problem away. Sometimes God allows us to take some time so that our faith will grow. But what we see here is God always gets the last say. Not the lions, not those that are after you, not the darkness. Satan don't even get the last word. Only God. Only God does. So they're going to throw them into lion's den. Now this is where people would say, the Bible is so ruthless. Their children and their wives, they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Wasn't it that the men were thrown in the fiery furnace and burnt before they even landed? God's power and force is more than we can even handle and understand. But people would say, oh, why would the families and why the wives? What do you think that they're teaching their kids? I'm not saying, but God, this is what God allowed to happen. Then King Darius wrote, this is what I love, it's not over. We would think, yeah, it's just a great victory. God is worthy of praise. God is worthy of praise. You would think that this story would be over. Yes, Daniel's out of the lion's den. Yes, good conquers evil always. But that's not what the story is supposed to be about. Good conquers evil. No, that it is God is over all things. And it says, then King Darius wrote to those of every nation, people, and language who live in all the earth, may your prosperity abound. I issue a decree that in all my royal dominion, and let me tell you, it was big. It was big. People must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Now, how in the world did he get that? Think about it. You know the answer. He wrote, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth, for he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Awesome, isn't it? But it's not over. There's one more verse, and this is usually the icing on the cake for us. God has a big section where God gets praised. God gets praised because he's worthy, right? It wasn't Daniel who did that. It wasn't King Darius who said, no. It was lifted up that God rescued Daniel from the lion's den. But this is what I like. So Daniel prospered. God took care of Daniel. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. When your faith is tested and you ignite your faith, it almost always seems that God blesses us. It doesn't always mean it's a blessing we receive here. But let me tell you, God remembers. Sometimes it's a blessing here, and sometimes it's a blessing there. Sometimes it's big blessings. But when you praise God, it's almost like you just can't help. God just can't help himself but to bless. But to bless. Doesn't even bless us when we do wrong sometimes. Adam and Eve sinned before God. God covered them. Sacrifice of animals and covered them for their nakedness. That was a blessing with lots of mercy. So King Darius testifies about a God. He does it in an awesome way. This story is about us, that we must keep our faith. We must keep our faith no matter what goes on in our life, the good and the bad. We must learn to exercise our faith. But also, I want to remind you, nothing is over until it's over. Nothing is over until God says, it is finished. Such as Jesus says, it is finished. It wasn't finished or over until Jesus says, it is finished. This was not over until God said it was over. And no lions are going to chew on God's people unless God allows it. Now, there's sadness in there. Later on, when the church comes to be, Satan comes really heavy in. And the church, God's people, are throwing in great lion coliseums, and many of them are persecuted and put to death. But through that, God's name even lifted up even higher and did not extinguish the Christians' faith. It fired up the Christians' faith. So sometimes persecution and pain and suffering lift up God's people and their faith in the Lord. This is more of a Bible study tonight, more of a Bible story tonight, but I think we can learn some good principles through there and know this, that God's not done until he's done. You're not out until you're not counted out until God says you're out. So let's stand tonight to give you that opportunity that we always do here at New Life, to give you an opportunity that if you'd like to come and pray maybe about the strengthening of your own faith, maybe strengthening of your openness to be able to praise God in the open,